David was supposed to preach this morning, and he called me Thursday. And so I just got something up, and it's called Beware Bible Warnings. Let me encourage you to turn to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to be reading a lot from Deuteronomy 6. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 6. When I say beware, you know that means to take caution, to be on guard, to keep yourself from whatever you're told to beware of. It is used 28 times in the Bible, the word beware. And it needs to be warning of danger. And an old saying, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Deuteronomy 6, God is talking to, or Moses is talking to the people. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1, and this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. So it's after the wilderness wanderings. They're about ready to enter the land of Canaan, the promised land. And he reminds them of the commandments that God had given them. Verse 2. He reminds them about the commandments that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So we're not to keep what we know about God to ourselves. We're to tell our family about it, our sons and our grandsons, our daughters, our granddaughters. It's up to us to teach the younger people. Verse 3, therefore hear, then for this reason, that's what therefore means, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so, take care, children of Israel. You're going into a promised land that your father has given you. And be careful to observe all that I commanded you. And in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Talk about the Bible, talk about God all the time. When you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're laying down, just think about God. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and that they may be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities that you did not build. Now notice what the children of Israel are going to do when they enter the promised land. First, he's going to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. They're going to overtake the people that's in Canaan. Verse 11, and you'll get houses of all good things which you did not build. There's food in the houses and you didn't have anything to do with it. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. It's already there. Water's there. Vineyards, an olive tree. You know, it takes a while to plant a vineyard. You grow it, and I think it doesn't produce until about 4 or 5 years after you plant them. And the olive tree has to grow. And it says that you did not plant when you have eaten and are full. So he's saying, when you go into the Holy Land, the Promised Land, and you're getting all this stuff that you didn't have anything to do with, he said, I want you to remember when you have eaten and full. So when you're, as we like to say, fat and sassy. Verse 12. Okay, he wants to tell them all these great things. Then beware. lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware that you forget the Lord. Verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God arouse against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. That's pretty strong language talking about if you disobey, God's going to take you out of the land that He's given you. Verse 16, you shall not tempt or test the Lord God as you tested Him in Massa. And that's when the wilderness warning and wanderings. He said in verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimony and His statutes which He has commanded you. Again, He's repeating, obey. Obey the commands. Obey the law. Verse 18, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord God swore to your fathers. Again, you're going to get some good property here. Houses are built. Gardens are planted. Trees are planted. Everything's there for you. Verse 20, when your son asks you in times to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then He brought us out from there, and that He might bring us in to give us the land of which He swore to His father, to our fathers, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord commanded to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord for our God always, that He might preserve us alive as to this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God. Beware lest you forget God. It's kind of easy to forget God when you live in a land of plenty like we do. We kind of think, well, look what I've done. No, God's done it through us. We hadn't done anything special. But He said, lest you forget God. In Revelation 2 and verse 4, Jesus said to the church, you have left your first love. Who's that first love in your life? It'd be Jesus, wouldn't it? In 1 John 4 and verse 7, and it's another long reading, so let me encourage you to turn to 1 John 4. When I first started preaching, I told Lindell I'd get up there and didn't know what to read. I mean, say. He said, just start reading from the Bible. That's good enough. So that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm just going to read from the Bible. 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Again, we're talking about leaving our first love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God had sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Talking about loving one another. By this we know we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world, that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God and abides in Him, and He in God, and God in Him. Love has been perfected among us in this, and we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. God loved us first. Now he wants us to love him and to love one another. And this is how people know that the church here is following God, because we love one another. God loves us. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about being sinners. God loved me when I was a sinner. Romans 5 and verse 8, while we were still yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Romans 5 and verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of Jesus. We celebrated the Lord's Supper to remind us of the death of the Lord Jesus. And we're to do that all the time. To remember, not just on Sunday morning, but all the time we're to remember what Jesus did for us. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, serving God, Paul said, is a labor of love. Romans 16 and verse 6, greet Mary, who labored much for us in love. We have to love. Acts 9 and verse 36, remember Dorcas, full of works, labor. She was known for her labor, her love of labor. She loved making things for people. So we say, well, you know, I obeyed the gospel, but do I have to do any more? Well, in 1 John 5 and verse 3, it says that his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalms 19. God doesn't ask us to do hard things, does he? Not really. I mean, it was simple to become a Christian, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Then after that, we start attending services. We read our Bibles. We pray. It's not hard being a Christian sometimes. Now, sometimes, let me take that back. It is hard to be a Christian sometimes when you're being reviled and whatnot, as we talked about in class. But basically, in America, in Red Bay, it's easy to be a Christian. As we read this in Deuteronomy, love God with your heart, soul, and strength. The heart is the mind. The soul is that part of you that lives forever. And your strength is the power that you have. Then Leviticus 19 and verse 18, love your neighbors as yourself. Matthew 5 and verse 44, love your enemies. Then Jesus said in John 13 and verse 35, this is how people will know you are my disciples. This is how people will know that you are a faithful congregation. This is how people will know we are a good church, because we love the brethren. We love one another. So we need to beware that we don't leave our first love, that we don't forget the love of God. Then beware of men. And I'm saying that you need to beware of me. Be on guard when you hear me talking. Because I'm a man and I can make mistakes. The Bible said there'll be false prophets, those who predict the future, speak the word of God for them, and there'll be false teachers. Now, if I don't have book, chapter, verse for all that I say and do, then maybe we don't need to listen to someone like that. We need to say, search the scriptures, as Jesus said. Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they searched the scriptures daily to see if what is being taught is true. Again, take what I say, take what Jerry says, and look at it as far as the Bible is concerned. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved. Read the scriptures. You don't have to read a lot every day, just some. Now, I know of people that they read the scriptures, they just, well, okay, it opened up to John 40, I'll read that. No, you need to read it as it is a book. The two most popular books that are read in the Bible are Genesis and Matthew. More people start with those books and stop before they get to the end. And I say, if you only read five chapters and you missed a couple days, pick it back up. You don't have to. If you missed a day or two, it's okay. Just read your Bibles. I'm thankful that this congregation doesn't have contentious people. In Proverbs 26 and 21, like wood to the fire, so is contentiousness to kindle strife. Our business meetings are fine. There's nobody's contentious, nobody's demanding their way. We work together to do the work of God. And that is a blessing that we have. And so we need to avoid that. And then finally, in Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware. There's our word again. Beware that you left your first love. Beware of contentious people. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Philosophy. It comes from the Greek word philosophia, and it means the love and pursuit of wisdom. And then he says the traditions of men. Now, there are certain traditions that are good. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with meeting at 9:30 on Sunday morning, 10:30 for worship, and then 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and then Wednesday night at 7. I've known congregations that only met in the Sunday morning. Jerry out in Washington, they met at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's fine. There is no set time. Some traditions are good. But we need to be careful that we're not like the Pharisees and that we bind our traditions on others. We need to remember that when we're dealing with people, especially those during this time when there is fear about the virus. And I think that it's worthwhile that we follow safety distance, mask. I'm not wearing a mask because I'm not preaching, but and then keeping your hands clean. So whatever is not from God is not true. Verse 1, chapter 1 of verse 8 of Galatians. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said this before, so now I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So if I preach a different gospel than what's in the Bible, let me be accursed. Let me be stricken from God's presence if it's not from God. 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Jesus does not have God. So who do we listen to? Those who have authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all. That's a definite word. All. It means that all of it, right? All authority is given to Jesus. He has authority. What he said is with power and with force. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, he will take vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.